Coretta Scott was born on April 27, 1927, outside of Marion, Alabama, in the small town of Heiberger, Alabama. Sometimes the area is called the Black Belt because of its rich black soil. But in the 1800s, the term had another meaning. It referred to the black slaves who had once worked the cotton fields on large farms called plantations. Their lives were harsh, filled with backbreaking work and cruel treatment. Slaves were considered property, like a horse or a piece of furniture. They had no rights. White owners could whip them, sell them, or work them to death. After the Civil War ended in 1865, all slaves were freed. Like many others, Willis Scott stayed right where he was, in Alabama. In time, Willis managed to buy his own land. Over the years, generations of Scots farmed those fields, working hard and raising families. In 1920, Coretta's father, Obadiah Obie Scott, married Bernice McMurray. They built a small, plain home with two rooms, a kitchen, and a bedroom. Soon, they had a family, Edith, Coretta, and Obie Jr. Slavery had ended over 60 years ago, but life was still difficult for African Americans. From slaves to sharecroppers. After slavery was abolished, plantation owners still needed workers, so black families rented small plots of land from former masters to farm. Instead of rent money, they gave landowners some of their crops, but the owners charged families for seeds and food and other goods. Often, sharecroppers owed more than they made. They never had enough money to buy their own land. Cruelly, they were still bound to masters. In Alabama and other parts of the South, black people were segregated from white people. That means laws kept them separated. Obie worked at a sawmill where logs were cut into boards for building. By the time Coretta was born, he had saved enough to buy a truck. Now he could work for himself, hauling trees. Jim Crow laws. From the late 1870s to the mid-1960s, African Americans in the South lived under racist laws called Jim Crow. Black people and white people had separate schools and parks, restrooms and water fountains, hospitals and businesses. It was called separate but equal. But it wasn't. Black Americans suffered. Then in 1929, when Coretta was a toddler, the Great Depression hit. It was a time of great hardship throughout the United States. Millions of people lost jobs, and Obie lost work. The Scott home only had a fireplace for heat and no running water or electricity. But the Scots got by. They ate vegetables from their own garden and had eggs from their own chickens. Everyone in the family worked hard. Coretta didn't mind. She liked being busy. As soon as she could walk, she'd follow Grandfather Scott to the fields to help. At around age 6, Coretta started tending the family garden. By 10, she was working in the cotton fields. She felt proud of her cotton-picking skills. Strong and strong-willed, Coretta boasted she could pick cotton faster than any boy her age. Coretta had fun, too. She was a tomboy. She loved being outdoors. Nothing scared her, not hitting wasp nests or baiting fish hooks with worms. Indoors, music filled the Scott home. Coretta's parents had one of the first Victrolas, an early record player. They owned books, too. Her parents read nursery rhymes and fairy tales to Coretta, Edith, and Obie again and again. Faith was important to the Scots, and much of Coretta's life centered around church. Every Sunday, men put on suits and women wore their best hats and dresses. The Scott children had to walk 4 miles to go to Sunday school. Grandfather Scott would open the service by singing a hymn. Coretta loved the music. It all gave Coretta a sense of pride and history. But there was a whole world outside Highburger. It was filled with different rules for Black people and white people. In elementary school, Coretta saw that for the first time. Gospel and Spirituals. After the Civil War, many Southern Black people formed their own churches. They featured a new kind of music, gospel. Gospel is rooted in songs called spirituals, created by slaves. The slaves sang about pain and faith in songs like, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Later, the gospel hymn, "We Shall Overcome," became the song of the civil rights movement.